If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
What's going on, everybody? Keith Niebuhr with Auburn Undercover, and this is the Auburn Undercover podcast, rapid reaction edition, following Auburn's dramatic and thrilling and wild 35-28 win over Ole Miss on Saturday at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium in Oxford, Mississippi. Nathan, we're going to dig deep into this game, and I'm joined by Nathan King, I should point out, of Auburn Undercover and 24/7 Sports. But before we do, I just want to get your general thoughts. I mean, there's a lot to kind of get your arms around, but quickly, just, you know, first impressions off this game, and then we'll kind of pull the layers back a little bit and get into it.
Yeah, I think Auburn has sort of an identity on offense now. I mean, at least you can just take away from this game. I know you should have scored a lot of points, and you should have had this kind of offensive success against Ole Miss because they're a really, really bad defense. But the ground game did what it was supposed to do. They went over 200 yards. That's the first time since Kerryon Johnson was in the backfield that Auburn's gone for over 200 yards in three straight SEC games. And then the Bo Nix to Seth Williams connection, that remains strong. Again, I'm tired of hearing all about all the off-the-field stuff, whatever. But I thought it was pretty poetic, I guess, for them to be able to put that behind them. Not that I think it ever really bothered them. But I think Seth had 8 catches for a 134, and then obviously that huge back shoulder throw that was just a really, really well done play by Auburn for him to break away from that first defender. Eli Stove came up with a really good block there at the end of the play. And they make magic again. I mean, they've had a few good connections over the years. Even before Bo Nix was on campus, Seth Williams was catching game winning touchdowns from Jarrett Stidham. So he's got that clutch gene in him, and Auburn really looked to him. But I thought, you know, on the other side of the ball, this is a really high powered Ole Miss offense, and they got some points and they got some yardage. But overall, Auburn got some defensive stops when it needed them. And then again, it's the third straight game that they've given the ball back to Bo Nix, and that's huge. They got the defensive stop when they needed it, giving Auburn a chance to go down the field and win the game. And in the past 2 out of 3 games, they've been able to do it.
All right, let me backtrack here. You said off the field issues with Bo Nix and Seth Williams. I think what you meant was sideline arguments, right? I want to clarify here. Not
yes,
not any. I didn't want anybody
a few
to panic.
Inches yeah. off the field.
Yeah, I didn't want anybody to. Oh, what's going on here,
right.
guys?
And let's not my words. Look. I don't think. Yeah. I don't think it matters.
That's right. Let's take a look at the statistics again. Auburn 35, Ole Miss 28. Bo Nix, 23 of 30 passing, not bad. 238 yards, 1 touchdown. QBR quarterback rating of 84.8. Tank Bigsby, 24 carries, 129 yards, and 2 touchdowns with a long of 19. You'd like him to have a long rush. However, but this means that he's averaging, you know, 5+ yards per carry without having one long run to kind of make the yardage per carry look better than it really is. So, again, another big day for Tank Bigsby, the dynamic freshman running back, true freshman running back from Troup County High just outside of LaGrange. And Callaway High School. Boy, I can't get those two mixed up. They're rivals. Callaway High School, third straight 100-yard rushing game for Tank Bigsby. Seth Williams, as you mentioned, big day, 8 catches, 134 yards. Quietly, Anthony Schwartz, 7 catches, 59 yards. Eli Stove, 5 catches. John Samuel Schenker with a huge 15-yard catch on 3rd and 13 at one point in Ole Miss territory. Xavier Capers with the catch. Kobe Hudson with the catch. Also should point out that Sean Shivers, 11 carries for 60 yards. Bo Nix, 10 carries for 52 yards. Shivers and Nix each had 1 rushing touchdowns. But Shivers is the guy a lot of people are talking about right now, Nathan, especially Ole Miss fans. And I'm going to get you to talk about this. But after Ole Miss went ahead 28-27, they kicked off. The Rebels kicked off. The ball squirted past Shivers into the end zone where an Ole Miss player jumped on it and thought, hey, maybe I got a touchdown. Replays look like show that the ball certainly looked like it may have touched Sean Shivers' hand. Had Ole Miss gotten a touchdown there, boy, we might be talking about a different result right now. What was your impression of that play, and how significant was it that Auburn was able to get the ball back?
Yeah, how about that too? And another close call there at the end of the game with you know you know, could they, would they have something gone the other way? We might be talking about a different ball game.
Hey, obviously. Don't ham and haw. What did he touch the ball? Come on. What do you think?
So my biggest thing was that they said the replay booth did go back and look at it and they didn't find anything. And that, to me, that's the biggest thing. To me, when I looked at it, I didn't see the ball necessarily change direction when it came past him. Yeah. It kind of kept skipping, but to me, it didn't really immediately turn. So
yeah.
I'm not sure, but I mean, I guess if they looked at it, then.
I keep cutting you off here. We got a little bit of a pause, but hey, so my question is, you know, some people were saying on Twitter, well, look at Sean Shiver's reaction. He immediately turns around and looks at the ball as if he did touch it. But I have to remind people that no matter how many kickoffs somebody has returned, when the ball gets past them, they all kind of initially freak out.
You get that little jump.
Even if you know the rule in your head and your heart, and you've been through it 100 times, you kind of think, oh, God, what have I done? And then, oh, okay, it's nothing. So even if he didn't touch it, you might still have the same reaction. But let's talk about now about that final drive from Auburn, you know, down one, taking over possession with 2:25 left, a couple passes, and then lightning strikes from the 42. Nathan, talk about that play. Bo Nix, and you brought it up in the intro, but again, these are two guys that were yelling at each other on the sideline last week, which, by the way, happens all the time, but it got a lot of national attention. Here they are connecting for one of the biggest plays, one of the coolest and most electrifying touchdown passes, certainly in the 8 seasons I've covered Auburn.
Yeah, it's just another one for Seth Williams. Like I said before, I mean, he's, you know, the Oregon one comes to mind. He had the one against Texas A&M when he was only a true freshman. But yeah, but Gus Malzahn was saying that play was set up really, really well, and Bo put the ball exactly where it needed to go. And that's a drive that started with a sack for Auburn. So, you know, they kind of got behind the chains a little bit, and Bo kept his confidence up. I thought he made some really good throws along the sideline to Eli Stove early in the drive, and I think he had another one to, and he had a big pass before that to Seth Williams as well. So, yeah, I mean, he's their number one guy, and he with his injury that he had kind of a few games into the year, I don't think he was 100%. It kind of looked like he was a little slow. And when he's not able to pull in those passes, that's big for Auburn. When he's not able to go up and get him.
Yeah, no doubt.
But when he looks 100%, when he looks like he's able to take over a ball game, whether it's in the red zone like Kentucky or whether it's in the middle of the field here against Ole Miss, that's huge for this offense. That changes everything. You can just pound, pound, pound on the ground and then set up with your big play receiver. So, again, I think they found some identity in this game. Even if it was against a bad defense, they did a lot of what they were supposed to do.
Pretty incredible that, you know, Seth Williams' second most memorable play in the game was, I think, a third down reception where he hurtled entirely over an Ole Miss defender. So another big game for him, obviously a big game for Tank Bigsby. But before we get to Tank, we got to talk about Bo Nix. I mean, he's coming off a 3-interception game again, 23 of 30 in this game, 238 yards, like we said, a touchdown, no interceptions, no big missed cues. I know at the end of the first half, he kind of took Auburn potentially out of field goal range on a third down play where he lost 3 yards, but no catastrophe plays. Played tough. That scramble on 3rd and 13 inside Ole Miss territory when he found John Samuel Schenker with that flick of the wrist pass. Pretty efficient day for Bo Nix. And again, did it on the ground, so close to 300 yards. Did he take a step forward today, Nathan?
I thought he did a lot of things that you look at Bo in the past at what he's done well, and I think he hit on a lot of those things. I think when he scrambles out of the pocket like that and he's able to keep his eyes downfield, he's able to find those little short reads like he did with Schenker. He's really, really effective. That kind of reminded me of the Sean Shivers play in the Iron Bowl last year where he flipped it out there too. But then just, with his legs too, he was effective. I thought he was able to take off on some scrambles. I think, you know, Chad Morris talked about it before the game on the radio about how he'd like to just see him stand in and make those throws downfield, kind of like we saw against Kentucky. And we saw him do a lot of that today. We saw some good throws. Like you said, there was the big throw that got him down to the goal line. Seth Williams made so many good plays, I can't even remember them all. There was the one that got him down to the 1 yard line. That was a huge, you know, launch across his body. You know, the guy's going to go up and get it. But he did have some happy feet at times today. I don't think he was 100% perfect, but in terms of a step forward after a 3-interception game, he didn't hang his head. He had a good week of practice. His guys knew he wasn't going to be down on them, and his energy was good the entire game. And he, like you said, the big thing was when you're running the ball so well, you don't want your quarterback to ruin that for you, and he did the exact opposite. He instead had some really good plays and eventually made the game-winning one.
You know, obviously they fell behind. They had to rely a little bit more on his arm in the second half, quite frankly, because Ole Miss was focusing so much on stopping the run. Everybody knew coming into this game, Auburn was going to try to establish the run, and it did. And again, Tank Bigsby over 100 yards, three straight games. Sean Shivers did some very good things too. So Auburn kind of got that established. There weren't too many head-scratching moments on offense. I mean, you can't score on every single drive, obviously. The series before Auburn took the lead at the end of the game, I believe, was a quick three and out, or just kind of a cluster, you know what. But there weren't too many complaints. And obviously Ole Miss, you know, look, they don't have the best defense in the world, had given up over 500 yards a game entering this game. But this was more of a field, a game where both these teams tried to establish the run. So even though it was 35-28, neither team was going to get 700 yards because they were running the ball and taking a lot of clock with it. But Tank Bigsby continues to do it, Nathan. And then the guy sensationally had a 100-yard kickoff return that was called back by a questionable holding call. Though, if you're an Auburn fan, it's probably hard to complain too much about a penalty that didn't go your way in this game, given the nature of the Shivers play. But that just shows you what a talent is. People say, why is he still returning kickoffs? Well, that's why. Special teams are hidden yardage, and that guy is going to fight, scratch, and claw for everything. And when he gets a seam, he can be gone, and that illustrated that right there. But just another outstanding game from Tank, Nathan.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, Keith, is those hidden yards. That's something that Gus was talking about either last week or the week before that, how they were kind of losing in those kind of situations and were kind of getting behind on some yardage they could maybe pick up. Yeah, I mean, he's a phenomenal kick returner. Bo Nix said after the game that he's going to have to go back and look at the film on that holding call. I don't think Auburn was very excited about that. And you hated to see it, too, if you're an Auburn fan, because it came so far behind the play. But, yeah, a guy that just is a monster between the tackles. Cole Kublik, the sideline reporter, had the little clicker that was counting all of the broken tackles. And I think Auburn fans, I mean, they're probably not taking it for granted, but at this point, that's just how he runs. And you're just expecting that, but you kind of got to get away from the microscope a little bit and realize this is not a normal thing for true freshman running backs. You knew better than anybody the kind of talent that he was coming out of high school. But I just don't know if anybody expected him to make this kind of an impact off the bat, to the point where, look, maybe besides Seth Williams, maybe he's their number one option on offense. He is their number one offensive threat when they're trying to move the ball down the field. And like you said, it's no small thing that Sean Shivers came back. DJ Williams actually got a little banged up in this game, Gus Malzahn said. So Shivers, I mean, Gus says he's still not 100% healthy, but he was looking shifty as ever, kind of making those moves that we've come to expect from him. He's really hard to bring down between the tackles as well. So moving forward for them, yeah, their running back room is getting their guy who was the starter at the beginning of the season. Now you're pairing with this electrifying freshman again. Feels like they might have a bit of an identity moving forward.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, DJ Williams isn't a bad option either. He does a lot of nice things. But I can tell you, going back to when Tank Bigsby was a senior in high school, I would say that Jason Caldwell, who works with us also at Auburn Undercover, we know definitively, without question, that, and you can figure this out for yourself, that Tank Bigsby was Gus Malzahn's number one offensive target in the 2020 class. That was the guy he wanted. That was the guy he locked in on. That was a guy that he knew he had to have, and now you know why. He's so special. And by the way, the fans that are concerned about these kickoff returns, look, obviously he could get hurt. No question, you can get hurt on any play. You can get hurt on the sidelines. I mean, but the question is, in Auburn, you have to have faith, if you're a fan, that they use analytics, that they take statistics and numbers, and they weigh the injury percentage on a kickoff return versus the amount of traction you're going to get from using a guy at that position. Believe me, they're not going to throw out their maybe best or second best offensive weapon out there if they were really, really worried about something catastrophic happening. I mean, that you know, so they're having to weigh their need, his ability, the likelihood that somebody could get injured on a return. And they feel like those yards are very important. And if you can start at the 27, 28, 29, 30 instead of the 20, that makes a big difference in SEC football, even though defenses are a little bit lackluster this year. Now, Nathan, you were talking about Auburn's defense a little bit earlier. Look, at times it wasn't pretty. I mean, Ole Miss completed 17 of 28 passes, 161 yards. That's not too bad. Intercepted two passes, including one on the final play of the game. A big pick by Roger McCreary in the first quarter when Ole Miss drove inside the 10 and Matt Corral was intercepted in the center of the end zone by McCreary. I believe that was his second pick in as many games. And then you look at Ole Miss's rushing, though. That's really where Auburn struggled on Saturday. 51 carries for Ole Miss, 283 yards. And really, their offense seemed to take off with the insertion of John Rhys Plumlee at quarterback in the first half. Although, and he had a quick 40 yards, ended the game with only 48. Matt Corral, actually, their starting quarterback, finished with 10 carries for 88 yards. Jerrion Ealy, 74 yards. Skip Connor, 75 yards. and a lot of yards after contact too. It was problematic for Auburn at times, Nathan, stopping that run.
Yeah, and this is an Ole Miss offense that loves to get those free yards on first down. They'll snap the ball in like 6 to 7 seconds after a big play, because they know those defensive linemen aren't set, and they know that if they can get one guy blocking at the second level, that's 7 free yards. And so that's kind of what you've seen out of Ole Miss all season. This is probably the best performance by a defense against them, though, besides what Arkansas did. You know, if you're not going to turn them over 7 times, holding them to 28 points overall is pretty good, because Alabama couldn't do that, Florida couldn't do that, Kentucky couldn't do that. And so there were a lot of good moments for Auburn's defense, but at the same time, a lot of stuff to go and look and improve on. That's what Owen Papo was kind of saying after the game. He said, look, you know, we got these great stops when we needed them. Not only the interception in the end zone, the interception at the end of the game, the fake field goal stop that was really, really big. Obviously, I don't think Auburn scored after that, but you still kept Ole Miss from getting points on the board. They did a lot of good things. They answered the bell when they needed to and gave Bo Nix a chance at the end of the game. But at the same time, this is a defense that thinks they can continue to improve. They're obviously not 100% healthy. I think KJ Britt just being in Oxford helped them. He couldn't travel last week. He traveled to this game. Owen Papo said he was like an Energizer bunny on the sideline all throughout the game. So that was a big boost for them. They're going to continue to get healthier. But I know, like you said, they're not going to be happy with all the yards they let up, and just some really long, grueling touchdown drives by Ole Miss where they were kind of just able to run the ball at will. That's obviously not going to sit very well with Kevin Steele moving forward. But look, for the third straight game, they got the stop when they needed it, and they gave Bo Nix the ball back and the chance to win the game.
You know, you play a team with that kind of balance on offense, and forgive me, everybody, I'm still battling this never-ending cold, but you have to pick your poison. Am I going to let them throw for chunks of yardage against my defense if you're Kevin Steele, or am I going to try to say, okay, let's stop the pass first, keep everything in front of us, and let them run? And I think you saw a lot of three-man fronts. Jason Caldwell pointed that out, a lot of three-man fronts for Auburn, and so you're gonna allow a lot of yards there. But they did, as much as the yardage started to pile up, most of the damage was done in front of Auburn. And the theory again being, look, it's still a fairly young defense, a secondary that's been struggling with some miscues. If you keep everything in front of you, perhaps things will bog down for the offense over the course of a 15-play, 80-yard type drive. And you're right, Nathan. They did make stops when it counted. Nathan, for Auburn, look, a win's a win. They're 3-2. If they lose that game, they're 2-3 with LSU coming to town, then an off week. And, boy, I mean, you lose that game, and all of a sudden you start thinking, is Auburn going to even get to 5-5? Now 5-5 and better still seems – realistic, if not probable. Look, it was a tough game. I mean, you know, people are going to say, oh, it's only a 7-point win. Well, a lot of people thought Auburn was going to lose that game. Many, many, many people thought Auburn was going to lose. And Auburn, in fact, did win the game. So what is Auburn's feeling coming out of this right now? What's the morale of the team, do you think, right now, Nathan?
Well, if you want to go off of some Instagram live videos from some of the players after the game, they were having a pretty good time in the locker room. So no, I mean, you get a win like that on the road where you get, you know, just this huge play at the end of the game. Obviously, you feel like when you're a defense, you made 2 stops at the end of the game when you needed it, and so you can kind of, you know, wait till the film comes and you can just ignore it for the time being and be like, we just got a win, you know, a huge win that you needed. I've been shying away from, quote, must win, you know, game. I think that's ridiculous, but this is a game where it really felt like if Auburn lost this game, it would mean bad things for the program. It would just feel really bad, you know, in the locker room.
Yes,
I just think things would kind of really take a damper for the 2020 season. People wouldn't be sure what kind of product they'd be delivered this year. But now you look ahead to LSU. That's a game. You're back in Jordan-Hare Stadium. This has been a 2-game road trip for Auburn. Maybe if you're Auburn, you can move to 4-2 now. And then there are some manageable games at the end of the schedule. Obviously, Alabama and Texas A&M, they still loom. Those are going to be really tough games. But there are some ones you can also win. And so Gus Malzahn said after the game, he said, look, this is just the SEC this year. Every game feels like it's going to come down to the wire. So this one, to me, I think if you're an Auburn fan, you're saying, look, this wasn't Arkansas. This wasn't a game where it really felt like you almost should have lost the game. Maybe you look back at that Shivers play, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda. The officials reviewed it and said it was fine. But your team made the big play when they needed to, kind of similar to the Anders Carlson field goal. Now they've got to take that momentum. And instead of after the Arkansas game, they didn't really take the momentum from a bounce back win, you know, to South Carolina. They started.
Yeah, kind of no doubt.
Now you have to take this. You're going back to your home stadium against LSU. I don't care how bad LSU is supposed to be this year. It's still LSU versus Auburn. It's still a huge game for this team. You're taking a lot of momentum back to your home field, and so you've got to capitalize on it, because I think going into your bye week, if you're 4-2, you're feeling pretty decent about where you are. You know, you kind of didn't want to lose that South Carolina game. A lot of people got really up in arms about the state of the program after that one. But 4-2 is not looking too bad. And then after that, if you can win a game or two, 5-2, 6-2, all of a sudden you've got a chance to really turn around the season. So I agree with you, Keith. This is a massive win that you had to get. And for Auburn now, it's just going to be about capitalizing on the momentum that comes from it.
Well, you know, people talk about the games that Auburn should have lost. Well, I mean, you could argue that Auburn may have – I hate to say should have won. South Carolina beat them by 8. But when you look at the statistics and you look at Auburn's offense really was never stopped by itself, you could argue that, hey, they let that one get away. But one thing I want to point out, Nathan, is that, you know, I saw a lot of the happy faces on the sideline. I saw players congratulating other players. Anthony Schwartz had a big catch on that last series that got a first down. First person to congratulate him on the sideline was Christian Tutt. And you know, for all the talk about dissension in the locker room, I always find that to be amusing, Nathan, when teams lose a game by 3 or 4 plays and the world's collapsing and they lost because of this, that, the facility, the fact they rode on a bus, this, and it's the games come down to blocking, tackling, and essentially in a close game, 5 or 6 plays. And against South Carolina, those 5 or 6 plays didn't go for Auburn. And today, a lot of them did. Big win, 35-28. Auburn moves to 3-2. Ole Miss in Lane Kiffin's first year, despite this dynamic offense, it's 1-4, and the road does not get much easier for the Rebels. So Auburn escapes. LSU comes to town for a Halloween battle against the Bayou Bengals from Baton Rouge. Should be a good one. Want to thank Nathan King of Auburn Undercover and 24/7 Sports for joining us. This is a Auburn Undercover podcast, rapid reaction style after a big win by the Tigers in Oxford, Mississippi. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.